Have you ever been in trouble with somebody? Let me ask it this way. Have you ever been in deep trouble with somebody? You've gone beyond just being in trouble with them. Now you are in deep trouble with somebody. Some of you are thinking, what do you know? Who's been talking to you? What have they been saying? Have you ever been in trouble with God? You ever been in deep trouble with God? This morning, I don't want to talk about being in trouble. That's no fun. I don't want to talk about being in deep trouble. But what would you say is the opposite of being in trouble with God? What would you say is the opposite of being in deep trouble with God? That's what I want to talk about today. Because I want to talk today about being in fellowship with God. But not just being in fellowship with God. I want to talk about being in deep fellowship with God. What does that mean? If you were to think of a person in the Bible who knew what it was to have deep fellowship with God, the list could have a lot of names on it. There could be a lot of people on that list. But if you could think of somebody, I want you to think about the Apostle John this morning. Do you think there was somebody who had a closer relationship with Jesus than the Apostle John? I don't believe there was. I believe if you're looking for somebody who understood what it meant to be in deep fellowship with God, to be in deep fellowship with Jesus Himself, I don't think you'd find anybody besides the Apostle John who was closer to Jesus than he was. He's described as the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's what he's called. The disciple whom Jesus loved. He was one of the three that was in Jesus' inner circle of friends that only went to certain events. He was one of those three. When you go to the upper room and you see Jesus with his disciples there at that feast and then at the institution of the Lord's Supper, it's John who is reclining, who is basically sitting right next to Jesus, reclining upon him. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, it's John that he turns to, apparently the only one who's there with his mother, who says, "Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." There's anybody who understood fellowship with God, I believe it was John. So I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 John this morning. And we're just going to kind of camp out in these first seven verses. And I want us to digest these first seven verses and try to come to a greater appreciation of what we have in being able to have a deep fellowship with God. And as you turn to these verses, the first thing I want us to see and to think about is the beauty of being in fellowship, in deep fellowship with God. We hear the word fellowship, and what does that mean to us? We hear the word fellowship, and you know, for some of us, we've gone to congregations, we've been in different churches, and maybe we think, well, there was the fellowship meal. You know, there was the fellowship hall. And after services, they would go over and they would have fellowship together in the fellowship hall, having a fellowship meal. And so we think about fellowship and we limit our fellowship to that place. Fellowship is so much better than that. Fellowship is so much bigger than that. And when you turn to 1 John chapter 1, what you're seeing here is the word fellowship found four times in this passage. And it's only found 15 times in the whole New Testament. So you've got more than 25% of the times that we're going to read this word. It's right here in this passage. If you're looking for a definition of the word fellowship, here it is. The English word fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia. And you don't need to know that word. You know, it's not going to be on a final test anywhere, but it's a kind of a neat word. And koinonia simply means to be in a joint participation with somebody. To be in a partnership with somebody. To be in communion with somebody. To have a joint sharing with somebody. Now, when it comes to the Bible, that happens on two levels. It happens vertically and it happens horizontally. But this morning, I want us to think about that vertically. We get to be in a deep fellowship with God. We get to be in a participation a partnership with God. Not just with each other. Not with your boss. Not even with the President of the United States. With the Creator of the universe. We get to be in communion, having something in common, a sharing with God. Does that appeal to you? Does that have any level of excitement to you to think, I can have that kind of a relationship with the God of heaven? That the concept just, you can't even fully understand it. A partnership with God? Why does He want to be partners with me? Joint participation with God? What does He want to do with me? Communion with God? What does He want to do with me? I'm a lowly, no good, sinful person. And what does God want? God wants fellowship with me. And I should want fellowship, deep fellowship with Him. This is a relationship. This is a relationship that requires some really close ties. This is a relationship that sometimes even in the definition of fellowship, you're going to find this word intimate. And that word has certain meanings today in a relationship. But we, as human beings, God offers us the opportunity to be in an intimate, close relationship with Him. Would you like to have that? Do you have that? He wants that with you. He wants that with you every day, not just on Sundays. Sometimes we think Sundays, well, that's the day I get close to God. If you get close to God on Sundays, what does that mean for the rest of your week? Where are you in relationship to God? It's not just Sundays that I'm in a close, intimate fellowship with God. It's every day of my life that I need to have that. And so sometimes when you read your Bible, you're going to read about people walking with God. Look in this chapter. Down in verse 5, it says, God is light. And then what does it say in verse 7? If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. What is it to have fellowship with God? Part of it is that we are walking with Him. You ever go on a walk with anybody? I dare say you've never gone on a walk with somebody that you didn't like, that you weren't close to. You know, if you go on a walk, that says something about you anyway. Wow, you're getting exercise? You went on a walk? Whoa! You know, props to you. But if you go on a walk with somebody, you're probably pretty decent friends with that. You're not going to go on a walk with your enemy, are you? I mean, you're not going to go try to sort out your differences while you're having a jog. But part of our relationship with God is that we walk with Him. One of the first things the Bible says about God is that He was walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about what kind of relationship that was for God to walk around in the garden with Adam and Eve. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Wouldn't you have liked to have had that kind of a fellowship with God? You can have it. It's not just that Adam and Eve had something that we will never have. He was walking in their midst. But then thousands of years later, what do we read about Enoch? Hundreds of years later, what do we read about Noah 1,600 years later? Both of those men say he walked with God. What does that mean? Does that mean they went out for a stroll and they were in a tight bond of a fellowship with God? Do you have that? In Noah's day, there were only 8 righteous people. How many people on the earth were not in fellowship with God in Noah's day? Millions. And there was Noah, who had a deep fellowship with God when nobody else did. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter what everybody else's relationship with God is like. What is your relationship with God like? Are you in this kind of a deep fellowship with Him that you are walking, as it were, hand in hand with Him? You ever seen a couple walking, holding hands? You ever seen an older couple walking, holding hands? and thinking how tight of a relationship they have after all of these years, instead of walking totally opposite sides of the parking lot in order to get to the car because they can't stand each other, after all of these years, maybe it's because they need each other's help, I don't know, but after all of these years, they're still holding hands because they love each other. You, if you're a Christian this morning, you've got that with God. You've got a partnership. You've got a communion. You've got a sharing with Him. You've got a relationship with Him where you can hold hand. There is no closer relationship than that. There's no closer bond than that. But as with any relationship, it requires communication, right? Have you ever noticed that relationships require communication? Doesn't that stink? But isn't it true? How does marriage work without communication? How does your relationship with your fellow workers work without communication? You say, hey, it'd work pretty good. If I had my way, it'd be working just fine. You got to communicate somehow. And that fellowship that we have with God requires communication. It requires that I let God communicate with me. Requires that I get into God's Word and I let God, not through some whispering voice. That's not how God talks to us today. God talks to us through His inspired Word. And it is so deep that Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says that when you let this Word get in you, it's like a sword. And it'll penetrate deep down inside to you, and it will get to the point where the dividing of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and it will know even your thoughts, and it will know the intents of the thoughts of your heart. If you let God talk to you, God knows you better than anybody else. You let God talk to you and you get into His Word, you'll learn about yourself. Are you somebody who's out looking for yourself? You're searching for yourself? Trying to figure out who I am? Guarantee you, if you pick up this book, you'll find out who you are. You'll find out. You'll find yourself. Because you pick up this book and you see you as God sees you. And that's the only way to see you. You don't need to look at yourself the way the other people. I wonder what she thinks of me. Don't worry about what she thinks. Well, I wonder what they think of me down at work. It doesn't matter what they think of you down at work. What matters is what does God think of you? Let God talk to you. But communication's a two-way street. We've got to talk to God. Four verses later in Hebrews chapter 4, it says we need to go boldly to the throne of His grace. We need to go and talk to our God. And when He's talking to us and when we're talking to Him, folks, we have a fellowship with God that the world doesn't have, but that the world doesn't understand. Isn't that awesome? Do you have that kind of a fellowship with God? Do you have that beautiful, deep fellowship with God? But that it's not just 1 John chapter 1 not only tells us the beauty of it, but it tells us where it comes from. It tells us the basis of it. Look in the very first verse. Look in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. Here's the basis of this fellowship. The basis of this fellowship is understanding who Jesus is. If you know who Jesus is, you'll find the basis of having a fellowship with God. Who's Jesus? You know, there's some people who would have you to believe that Jesus Christ never lived. Some people would have you to believe that. Jesus Christ never lived. Problem is, there is way too much evidence to prove otherwise. Not just biblical. There's way too much evidence to prove otherwise. Well, there's some people that have you to believe, well, yeah, okay. There was a guy named Jesus who lived, but, you know, he was a good guy. He was a good man. He was a moral man. He was an influential teacher. But he was nothing more than that. There's some people that have you to believe, okay, yes, there was a man named Jesus who lived, and he was a deeply religious man. And he was so religious and knew the Old Testament so well, he truly believed that he was the Messiah. He really wasn't, they'll have you to believe. But he really believed that he was the Messiah. You see the progression from some people? No, Jesus never lived. Some people, oh yeah, he lived, but he was just a good man. Some people, oh no, he lived, but he believed he was the Messiah. And then some people would say, yeah, there was a guy named Jesus who lived, but man, was he a con artist. Man, that guy, he pulled the wool over so many people's eyes. He deceived those people into actually believing. That, can you believe that this guy, he was a trickster. He got them to believe that he was the Messiah. Who Jesus is the basis of your fellowship with God. And none of those four statements are going to give you fellowship with God. But number five will. Number five is what Peter said to Jesus when he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Remember what Peter said? "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." That's what the basis of our fellowship with God is. Look in verse 1. "That which was from the beginning." That's talking about from all of eternity. That's not just talking about creation. That's talking about from before the creation. From all of eternity. "Which we have heard." This is talking about Jesus when you get down in this. "That which we have heard." John says, we were ear witnesses of Jesus. We heard Him talking. We didn't just hear Him. We saw Him. We were eyewitnesses. John's writing this and he's saying, I'm not telling you something that somebody else told me. This isn't third-hand information. I didn't see this on the National Enquirer, and now I'm reporting this to you as fact because, well, it's the National Enquirer, and, you know, we want to know, so it's the truth. I saw this. I heard this. But as you read through these, it progresses. Not just hearing and seeing, but it gets even deeper. He says, we beheld Him. That goes beyond just seeing somebody. That word beheld, or depending on what translation you have there, it may just say that we looked upon Him, was the idea of somebody who puts an intense gaze on something or someone else in order to investigate, in order to dissect. Has anybody ever looked at you like that? Anybody ever looked at you trying to figure out who you are? Watching your every move? Trying to see what you're... Anybody ever put an intense gaze upon you, trying to figure out everything they could about you? John says, that's what we did. We didn't just hear Him. Oh yeah, we heard Him. We didn't just see Him. Yeah, we saw Him. We fixed our eyes on Him. We couldn't take our eyes off of Him. And if that wasn't enough, what's the fourth thing that they did? We touched Him. You remember after Jesus was raised from the dead? You remember what Thomas said? Unless I see, and unless I put my hand in those wounds, I will not believe. Did he get to touch? John says, this isn't some figment of somebody's imagination. That's what these Gnostics during John's day, these Gnostics, that's what they would have had their followers to believe. They taught their followers Jesus didn't really live. Not in a fleshly body. He was more just a spirit being. John says, that's foolishness. We heard Him. We saw Him. We beheld Him. We touched Him. He really lived. That's the basis of our fellowship with God, is that Jesus Christ came down to this earth and He took on a fleshly body. When He was born, He wasn't just given the name Jesus. God said, you shall call His name Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. Jesus came down to this earth and He lived in a human fleshly body so that you and I could have a deep fellowship with God. If it were not for what Jesus did, that would not be possible. And then He goes to the cross and He dies on that cross. Well, I want to read you, these might be the only verses I'm going to jump to outside of 1 John chapter 1. But I want you to think about what Jesus did for us so that we could have fellowship with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, we used to be sinners. And while we were sinners, Christ died for us. not for himself, not for his sins. He wasn't a sinner. I was. And he died for me so that I could have a deep fellowship with God, much more than verse 9. Well, that wasn't fun. Having now been justified by his blood. He didn't just die, he shed his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through Jesus Christ. I can have deep fellowship with God and be saved from his wrath because of his blood. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. What does that mean? We were brought into a fellowship with God. We were reconciled to God through the death of Jesus. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his resurrection. We shall be saved by his life. And now verse 11, we've got reconciliation. Now we have been made to have fellowship with God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Thanks be to God that Jesus came and took on a fleshly body just like you and me. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That he went to that cross and he died, he was buried in that tomb, and he was raised the third day so that you and I can have a partnership, a participation, a communion, a sharing with the God of heaven. You know, this relationship that we have with God. You know, some people have what might be described as a casual relationship with God. Yeah, I know God. Yeah, I go to church. You know, I'm a pretty good person. They have a casual relationship with God. That's not the same thing as having a deep fellowship with God. Some people have an emergency relationship with God. You know what I'm talking about? You know, something comes up. Oh, dear God, please help me. I need your help right now, God. No, this is David. No, David Sproul. No, I know we haven't talked in a while, but, you know, I've got something really going on right now. You've got an emergency relationship with God. Don't have any other, you know, kind of fellowship, but when it's needed, some people have maybe a forced relationship with God. Maybe they're brought up in a home where they're forced, quote unquote, to go to church, to go to Bible class, to have Bible study, to have family devotionals. They're forced in this home and they're forced to have this kind of relationship. That's not having a deep fellowship with God. Having a deep fellowship with God is your own personal choice based upon what Jesus did for you. And when you learn what Jesus did for you, what else would you want than to be in a relationship with God that is better than anything this earth has to offer? John describes for us its beauty. He describes for us its basis. And then down verse 5, 6, and 7, he describes for us its blueprint. How can I have this kind of a fellowship, this kind of a relationship with God? And what he does in verse 6, he comes at it from a negative standpoint. And then in verse 7, he comes at it from a positive standpoint. Because in verse 6, he says, basically, I cannot have fellowship with God if I'm walking in darkness. I can't have it. Why? Because what does verse 5 say? God is light. And in God, verse 5, what does it say? In God, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In the Greek, there's actually two negatives there at the end of that verse. And in English, two negatives make a positive. But in Greek, two negatives emphasize the negative. And so what he's saying is, God is light. And in him, there is no, not even a little bit of darkness in God. So if I want to have fellowship with God, can I be in a little bit of darkness? I can't be in a little bit of darkness. Because that's not where God is. And so as he begins to give this blueprint, this outline, these conditions for us having fellowship with God, I've got to learn that for the first point, that I've got to get out of darkness. I've got to stay out of darkness. Jesus tells us that the devil is the ruler of darkness. So if I'm living in darkness, I'm not in deep fellowship with God. I'm in deep fellowship with the devil. Well, that doesn't have any appeal at all, does it? I don't even want a little bit of fellowship. I mean, forget deep fellowship. I don't even want a little bit of fellowship with the devil, do you? So God says, if you want to be in fellowship with God, step number one, get out of darkness and stay out of darkness. But then he says in verse 7, here's the positive standpoint of this. Get into the light of God and stay in that light. What does he say? If we walk in the light as he is in the light. You see that little word, if? That little word, if, at the beginning of verse 7 says this is up to you. This is your choice. This is a condition that you can choose to follow or not to follow. But if we decide to give our lives faithfully, continually, the word walk there is not just a one-time act. It's a continuous thing. If we continue walking with God in His light, then we will continue to have fellowship with Him. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever allowed the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins so that that world of darkness could be taken away and you could enter into the light, the truth, the purity, the beauty of fellowship with God? Have you ever allowed the blood of Jesus to do that? And if you've allowed the blood of Jesus to do that, God says, you keep on living where you are. Does God expect you to be perfect? Does God think you're going to be perfect once you become a Christian? You know, Katie Goodale was baptized earlier this year, or was it last year? Yeah, I can't remember. I thought you were. Alice. It was Alice that was baptized earlier this year. I'm sorry, Katie. Does God expect Alice to be perfect every single day? Does God say Alice is never going to make a mistake? She's going to make a mistake. Does God look at David and say David's going to be perfect every single day? Have you ever gone walking and never tripped? I'm not saying somebody else tripped you. I'm saying, have you ever gone walking and never tripped over your own feet? Or over the carpet, or it was an ant that tripped you, right? Have you ever gone walking and you've never misstepped? Nobody, right? Because every time anybody walks during their life, they are going to stumble, and they might even fall. Does that mean that you give up? Say, well, I'm done walking. You know, I tripped back there. I can't walk perfectly. I'm just done. I'll just sit for the rest of my life. How would that work out for you? Not very well. How would that work out for you spiritually? If you decide, you know what? I made a mistake. I sinned. I'm just going to give up. I'm never going to try to do right again. How would that work out? God calls upon us. He calls us into a fellowship with Him. And in that fellowship, He wants us to walk with Him all the stumbles and falls that come with it, knowing that in that fellowship, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Because with that fellowship comes innumerable blessings. There's three blessings mentioned in this passage. There's a blessing of joy in verse 4 that's full and complete, depending on your translation. There's the blessing in verse 7, the blessing of having fellowship with members of the body of Christ. Not just this vertical fellowship, it's this horizontal fellowship. When we're in fellowship with God, we get to be in fellowship with each other. That means I don't have to try to make it through this life on my own. When we have difficulties, we have them together. When we have joys, we have them together. We sing, sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry together. We do those things together. God would say that you weep with those who weep and you rejoice with those who rejoice. And we do that with each other. We do it together. But here's one of the greatest blessings that's anywhere in the Bible is right here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. And if you have never memorized 1 John 1 and verse 7, I would encourage you to do it, especially because of this last part. The verse says, if we walk in the light, conditional, if we continually walk with Him, If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. That's one of the benefits. But here's the greatest benefit of all. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, keeps on continually, doesn't just do it one time, doesn't just do it one time when you're baptized. It keeps on continually cleansing you from some of your sins. Is that what your Bible says? That the blood of Jesus cleanses you from some of your sins? Maybe it says it cleanses you from the worst ones. You can handle the little sins, but the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from the worst ones of your sins, right? Is that what your Bible says? What does your Bible say? Cleanses us from all sin. Aren't you glad that word all is there? It doesn't have to be. It could say cleanses us from sin, and the word all would be implied. But aren't you glad God didn't just imply it? He put it in there to say, here's the blessing of God. That when you are in full fellowship, in deep fellowship with Him, what does He do for you? He just keeps washing and washing and washing and washing and washing and washing your sins away. Some people have the mentality that they pop in and out of fellowship with God. I'm in fellowship with God. Oops, I sinned. I'm not in fellowship with God. Got that sin taken away. Now I'm in fellowship with God. I'm in fellowship. Oop, I sinned. I fall out of fellowship. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. God knows that we are going to sin. And as I continue to try to walk with Him, and as I continue to try to be in a fellowship and a relationship with Him and put Him first in my life, am I going to sin? Yes. But what does He do when I sin? Washes it away. Washes it away. Washes it like it was never there. Anybody ever been to the Itchinatuckney River? Nobody's been to the Itchinatuckney River. Only me. Amber, I knew a few of you had. It's a really cool, it's one of the few places I've been, and I've been to some other place, one of the few places I've been where the water is crystal clear, fed by a spring, and you float down this river, and it is, you can see down to the bottom, it is crystal clear water. Not like the Mississippi. I thought about asking you if you'd ever seen the Mississippi, but, you know, that's just like a mud ball rolling down, you know, I mean, that thing's not clear for anything. But I want you to imagine standing next to a river, crystal clear water. And you take an eyedropper with some red food dye in it, and you just drop one little drop of red food dye into that crystal clear water. What's going to happen to it? Are you going to be able to see that red food dye anymore? Once it hits the water, what's going to happen to it? Oh, it's gone. Not there anymore. All right, suppose I take a red Solo cup, all right? I got 16 ounces, or maybe 18, I don't know how big are those things. 16 ounces red Solo cup, red food dye water, and I dump it into that crystal clear flowing river. What's going to happen to it? It's going to dissipate. It's gone. All right, suppose I take one of those coolers, one of those coolers they've got on the sidelines of football games that they dump over the coach's head. Fill it up, not with water, but with red food coloring, right? Fill it up and you dump it into that clear flowing river. What's going to happen to it? It's going to dissipate. It's going to be gone. When I'm walking with God and I sin, what does God do with that sin? He wipes it away like it never happened. Dissipates. Forgives it. It's gone. That's not a license to sin. That's not to say, oh, okay, hey, that's a great deal. I'm going to go get an igloo full of sins, and I'm just going to sin and sin and sin so that God can get... No, that's not walking in the light. But when I sin, even in my relationship with God, what is His promise? He will come with the blood of Jesus and wipe that sin out of the way so I can stay in fellowship with Him. Now, if I don't want to be in fellowship with Him, if I decide enough is enough, I'm out of this, well, that blood will stop forgiving me because I don't want it there. What kind of a relationship do you have with God? Do you have the kind of a relationship with God this morning that the blood of Jesus is forgiving you continually of every sin that you commit? And we don't lose sight of verse 9. What does verse 9 say? If we confess our sins, we've got to acknowledge we've done wrong. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful, He's just, and He keeps on, keeps on, keeps on forgiving us of our sins. if you are a Christian, if you are a Christian, you can know this morning whether you're going to heaven or not. You can know if you're saved or not. You can know if you are in fellowship with God right now or not. The way you can know is to know, have I done what the Bible says? Do I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the Son of God? Do I believe that? Do I believe what He's done for me? And have I ever turned away from sin? Have I ever repented and said, I'm done with sin. I'm going to turn my life over to God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done what the Bible says to confess the faith that is in our heart and to be baptized for the remission of our sins? Have you ever allowed somebody to bury you in water for the express purpose so that the blood of Jesus could wash away your sins upon that act? Have you ever done that? Because it is that act in the blood of Jesus that puts you into a fellowship with God where God says, just walk faithfully with me. Walk with me. Are you going to stumble? Yes. But if you're walking with God and you stumble, what do you think God's going to do when you stumble? Is He going to turn around and point at you and laugh? Is He going to turn around and kick you and say, hey, get up, we're trying to move here? Or do you think it's going to be like Jesus when Peter began to sink in the water and reach down and pick you up and keep walking with you? Are you in that kind of a fellowship with God that you've been baptized to enter that fellowship? And if you haven't done that this morning, we're going to sing in just a minute. We encourage you to come and to do that. But if you've done that in the past, but your life has not been walking with the Lord as it should be, and you need to ask for forgiveness, you need to ask for the prayers of the church to go before God on your behalf, and to ask that God might forgive you and to bring you back into full fellowship with Him, if you need to respond to this invitation and get your life right with Him right now, then come as together we stand and sing.